This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Why, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense. Hi everyone, it's just Aaron this week. Ronnie and I were unable to get together with the holiday weekend and our crazy schedule, so I'm just recording a quick episode to get something out for you all this week to talk about a book that came out a few weeks ago that I really enjoyed, the Green Lantern Earth 1, Volume 1. I had Ronnie read this as well, and he was kind of hate texting me as he was reading the book, so I don't think he enjoyed it nearly as much as I did. But I will say, I really enjoyed this one. It was more, I'm going to say that it leaned a lot more sci-fi than superhero in a way. You know, it was, I think the first impression I had of the book was when they released the cover image of Hal kind of in a spacesuit with the ring shining. And I mean, immediately it was like, yes, please, I want this. The art for me overall wasn't as great as the cover, but I still found myself enjoying it a lot. I don't want to go too super spoilery, just because I don't know if everyone's read this yet or not. It came out, like I said, about a month ago, but I know people wait on stuff like this. But the basics of the plot, it takes place where Hal isn't a regular pilot. He is an astronaut working for, I guess it was Ferris Galactic instead of Ferris Air, you know, and they're out mining like asteroids. He and his partner are out, you know, exploring. They find a spaceship that was kind of buried in the asteroid. And of course they go and take a look, and they find like a big robot that's been long deactivated, I guess. And they find a dead alien, and they find, you know, the power battery in the ring. And the interesting thing about this book is that, unlike, I guess, every other time we've seen the Green Lanterns, you don't have to say an oath. Pretty much, you can just pick up the ring and put it on, and it doesn't, if someone dies, it doesn't go searching for, you know, a new, you know, someone with strong willpower to take over to join the Green Lantern Corps. It just kind of sits there, I guess. So of course they, you know, they take the lantern in the ring, and they escape the ship just before, I don't remember, I think it fell off a cliff, or the ship somehow fell somewhere, and the crew is afraid, you know, when he tells them of his ship, that, you know, they're afraid that he's going to have like radiation poisoning. So they forbid him to come back, and somehow, you know, the ring activates and he sort of survives. And of course, what happens is the robot that was in the ship, of course, turns out to be a manhunter, and it attacks Hal when he's got the ring on. And Hal, being Hal, somehow manages to destroy the robot and, you know, survive as he does. But of course, he took, you know, this huge blast of energy when he destroyed the thing, and ends up waking up on Kilowog's homeworld. And Kilowog sort of tells him pretty much the whole history of the Green Lantern Corps, you know, how they were, you know, the peacekeepers in space, and then they were hunted and destroyed, I guess, by the manhunters. And now there's, you know, just a few of them scattered around, but they don't really do anything other than just, you know, whatever they can do on their own, sort of. And Kilowog's planet is in a way like xenophobic. Like, no one really, they don't like off-worlders or anything, and he's all nervous. Like, he basically, he's saying he shouldn't have saved him, and he you know, but now that he did, that he's got to get him healthy and away as soon as possible before they get discovered. But you know, as the story goes on, of course you see the Guardians, who basically, you know, wanted to end the Green Lantern Corps by creating the Manhunters. And you know, it's the whole conflict between Hal pretty much doing what he does and you know, kind of becoming the de facto leader of all of the Green Lanterns, that he, you know, tells everybody what's going on, what the whole story was, not, you know, anything else. And they get the central battery back up and running, and you know, the lanterns come together, and it's, you know, it's pretty terrific, I think. That the at the end, you know, Hal kind of goes back, you know, to Earth, and you know, sort of reveals himself as a Green Lantern and goes through the whole thing. But like I said, it's very much sci-fi, that it's, you know, there's this space weapon, and it's using the super powerful weapon to destroy these robots that they're, you know, basically these unstoppable robots. And I really thought that it was an interesting direction to go in. It's like a welcome departure. As much as I've been enjoying what Rob Venditti has been doing with Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, I'm also a huge sci-fi fan. So getting more of a space, I don't even know how to describe it. It's not like more space opera, because that's what Hal Jordan has always been, but it's just doing more, I guess, on the science level than the superhero level, made it a very interesting read to me. I couldn't recommend this more to people, and I've been telling everyone to read it since it came out, except for Ronnie, who apparently doesn't like good things. When we record next week, I will be sure to bring this up and find out exactly what it was that he didn't like. But the people who worked on the book are the same people who did, what's the Image comic? I want to say Invisible Republic, maybe. Gabriel Hardman and Karina Bechko, and Jordan Boyd did the, you know, helped with it also. It's really good. I really enjoy it. And like I said, if anyone was kind of on the fence of it, you know, I think it's definitely worth checking out. I mean, especially because it's a hardcover that you could probably find in your library or something just to read. I did throw out some, you know, for people to toss a couple questions my way if there was anything they wanted me to cover. And I did get a couple back from friend of the show, Nick. One of them, the first question he asked was the best retro and current Teen Titans arc for new readers. And Ronnie and I have talked about the Judas Contract a lot on this show. That one is obviously one of the top picks. But if I was going to go with another, going back to when Geoff Johns was writing the comic, I want to say the story was called The Future Is Now, or something along those lines. It was the Titans kind of jump like 10 years into the future, and they see them, you know, the more hardened versions of themselves, I guess, that they sort of realize that the way they've been doing things doesn't always work. And they're at this point, they're willing to do whatever it takes to keep people safe and, you know, pretty much by any means necessary. And, it's an interesting look. I mean, obviously they try not to get too much in contact with themselves because they don't want to ruin the future. You know, there are parts where they're like, when we go back, we have to break up the Teen Titans. And then I forget who, might have been Green Arrow, said something to Cyborg or whatever that's like, no, you don't understand. You guys splitting up is what caused everything to go completely haywire. So, you know, and the interesting thing here is this is when Dr. Light came back. I want to say it's the first time he came back after, which was Identity Crisis. And, you know, instead of being, you know, not the most dangerous and threatening of villains, it's when he came back being like super evil and calculating and pretty much ready to take out the Titans however he can. And I mean, I really enjoyed this one. I like a lot of Geoff Johns stuff, and this was, I think for me, this is probably my favorite story that he wrote for the Titans. And I mean, he wrote them for a bit, so he's got a lot of good stuff in there, but this one I really enjoyed. I'm always a sucker for, you know, jumping into the future and seeing, you know, oh my goodness, because of this, you know, this is how crazy the future is going to be kind of stories. So it's definitely one that I would recommend as an older, you know, an older story. And to be honest, a newer Teen Titans story, I know I just kind of touched on the Earth One Green Lantern book a bit. The Earth One Teen Titans is fantastic. There's two volumes out so far. Jeff Lemire is the writer. I know the first one was Terry and Rachel Dodson did the art on the book, and it's amazing. I mean, the book looks great. The story is fantastic. Everything about it, it's a different take on everything. And trying to think, it was Raven, Beast Boy, Terra, Cyborg, Tempest is in the book. I think Wally West was in the book. I'm drawing a blank now who was in there, but it's really good. I mean, you can tell that Lemire had a great idea and was ready to run with it. Cause sometimes he can be hit or miss. When he's really into something, it's always great. But when he starts losing interest, you can tell when he starts losing interest. And right after the first volume came out was when he signed, he left Green Arrow and signed the exclusive deal with Marvel for a bit when he was working on Hawkeye. And I was curious because they had announced that there was going to be a second volume to this. And I didn't know at that point if he was working exclusive to Marvel, if he'd still be able to do it. But I guess there was some kind of a deal because it wasn't a direct DC series or something, because as he was writing his Marvel stuff, Earth One Volume 2 came out for the Teen Titans book about a year later. So it wasn't the Dodsons on the art. I forget who did it for that one. But, you know, again, it picked right up where the first volume left off. And, you know, I mean, if you haven't read any of the Earth One books, I think that it's probably, I mean, since I guess it's the new version of the Elseworlds in a way. But I've always been a huge fan of the Elseworlds series, and the Superman Earth One books were written by J. Michael Straczynski, and he's fantastic. I mean, he's written a ton of great comics. He's written great TV shows, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, you know that the writing's going to be solid. The art in the books were great also. There's three of those. There's two Batmans that Geoff Johns wrote, and I think Gary Frank did the art. I don't remember. I know in the Superman, Shane Davis did the art on the first couple, but he left. I don't remember who did it on the third one, but it definitely wasn't him. The Wonder Woman has a volume out that was Grant Morrison and Yannick Paquette, which is probably my favorite thing that Grant Morrison's written in ages. I said the Teen Titans, there's two volumes of that, and the Green Lantern has one. A while ago, they announced that there was going to be an Aquaman and there was going to be a Flash, but I've seen in the past maybe 3 years, I've seen absolutely no news updates or anything on that, which is kind of a shame. But at the same time, probably last, I guess it was maybe the end of last summer, they just randomly said, hey, guess what? Green Lantern Earth One is coming out in March. So maybe they'll just surprise us again next year. Cause it seems like there's been about one every year, sometimes two, but you know, I mean, the people that are working on them work on a lot of other books. So I don't think it's a top priority, but they're all fantastic, and I couldn't recommend them any more than I am right now. You know, there's what, like 8 so far in total, 9. So yeah, definitely check them out. And the Green Lantern one, like I said, it's the newest. It's great. If you like Green Lanterns, if you like sci-fi, it's fantastic. Another question. What did he say? Any relaunched Vertigo thoughts? Who was it? Mark Doyle, I guess, is the executive editor, and it's coming out for the 25th anniversary. I haven't seen any other news, I don't think. Like, I was looking today for any updates, if there was anything on any more series or anything, and I didn't see anything. So if there's any news out there, you know, feel free to tweet it to me, you know, or the show or Ronnie, because I'm definitely interested. You know, Vertigo's always been, it's always been interesting. I mean, especially, like, the weird thing is when they're bringing back Vertigo that they're, you know, Sandman is actually going to get its own imprint, you know, that's not Vertigo, but, you know, I'm okay with that. It doesn't all have to be together. But I always liked that Vertigo was kind of a darker, more gritty thing. You know, I mean, I guess it was more adult-oriented, but it's, I mean, these days, all the comics, it's hard to tell what's geared more towards kids and adults, because everything seems to skew dark at some point or another. Like, a lot of the current DC stuff spinning out of Metal and all that is sort of almost horror, you know, in a way. It's interesting to see what they're going to do. You know, all they said is it's going to be, you know, landmark creators or something. So I don't know. I'm assuming that big names are going to be involved, but I'm just as curious with as you are, Nick, about what exactly it's going to be. Another question. Which three characters that are known for being in team books should have their own solo book? See, this is a tough one. The first one that I thought of was Martian Manhunter, because even though he's had his own book, like, for some reason, it never seems to go right, if that makes sense. Like, the new 52 book was just really not great. He was, you know, just sort of, it just didn't feel like his book until it was basically canceled, and it never really went anywhere. He was just like a detective on Earth, and you're just like, okay, but that's not why I read a Martian Manhunter book. But I would like to see maybe, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a full ongoing, but I mean, they keep giving all these characters, you know, like, miniseries. There's always, like, Raven has one and Ragman has one and stuff like that. I think it would be interesting if they gave Martian Manhunter one. I mean, especially because he's coming back in the new Justice League stuff with Snyder, that he seems like he's going to be a focal point of something. So I would like to see maybe them give him, you know, at least a little something to get him back, you know, going. Another one, I would love a Red Lantern book with any of the Red Lanterns. I'm a huge fan of theirs. I mean, I don't care if it's Atrocitus. I don't care if it's Zox or, you know, Bleez, or, I mean, I think a Dexstar book would be funny, but there really wouldn't be a whole lot of dialogue. It would just be pretty much a cat just killing people. I thought one of the best parts of the new 52 was some of the stuff that they did with the Red Lanterns, and they brought in the new Lantern, that Judge. I don't remember if they ever gave her another name other than just kind of calling her the Judge. But I would be very interested to see, you know, a story with them. I mean, I've said it for ages. I would love to have a Lanterns book that isn't necessarily only Green Lanterns. I would love to see a book that was, you know, I mean, almost an anthology series, which you don't really see much anymore, but, you know, give me something that has, you know, even if it's a one issue, a two issue, you know, it doesn't have to be long arcs, but you know, oh, here's a story with Larfleeze. Here's a story with, you know, Dexter and Atrocitus. And then, the next arc, the next two issues, it's a thing with, the Indigo Tribe. And then the next couple issues, you'll get a little bit of Yellow Lantern stuff. You know, just kind of what else is happening, around in the, in the ring spectrum, instead of, just once every 3 years, oh, here's a story with, an Orange Lantern. I think it would be interesting. You don't need to give it, like when they gave Larfleeze a book in the New 52, it kind of lost something after the first couple issues for me, where, you're like, oh, this is so great, there's a Larfleeze book, and then you start reading, you're like, it's the same thing over and over and over again. I think if they came up with an interesting 1, 2, 3 issue storyline, you could do a story with him, get it out there, have people be like, oh, that's right, Larfleeze is, he can be kind of cool sometimes, and then, switch it up and give us something, with like the Star Sapphires for a few issues, and then give us something with, with like, just give me a random, like anything story. I don't even care. You could give me a Saint Walker book, for a few issues. I'd be perfectly happy with that. Just something, I guess. And, cause they usually, I don't know if it necessarily happens that they're in a team book, but they usually don't show up unless it's a Green Lantern book. So I would be more than excited if they did something like that. The other character, and I mean, he sort of has his own book, but not really. I would like a Jason Todd book where it's not Red Hood and the Outlaws, where it's just Red Hood, or not even Red Hood, just Jason Todd. And, even like I said before, even if you give it like a 6-issue mini run or something like that, just something that gets like really into his psyche of how he deals with everything, since, coming back to life and sort of being the black sheep of the Bat family, and, something, maybe even give him, him and Damian a little team up thing or something, because they are kind of two sides of the same coin in a way. But I think those are really, for me, those are the three, I think. Give me like a Lantern solo book, give me a Manhunter book, and give me Jason Todd by himself. As much as I'm enjoying Red Hood and the Outlaws, I think taking, Bizarro and Artemis out of the book would be pretty interesting. I think one of my kids is waking up, so I'll answer one more question. What got me into DC Comics? I don't know if I answered this before. The first comic I got was at a garage sale. It was a Justice League book where they are fighting the Royal Flush Gang in like this maze. And it had no cover. It was my next door neighbor. And they basically, I don't remember how old I was, but I was old enough to read, but so probably like kindergarten, first grade. And they're just like, here, you can just have this. And I remember reading it and I was like, wow, this is interesting. And around the same time was probably Super Friends reruns were on TV, and the Adam West Batman series was on in reruns. And, you see Batman, and the superheroes, it's one of those things that I don't even know where you first hear about them. It just seems like every kid just kind of knows Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. Now, I guess because of the movies, but way back when, it's just everyone seemed to know about them at the same time. And it was just interesting. Yeah, I wish I could remember back, 35, 40 years and see what exactly happened, but oh well. But yeah, that's pretty much what got me into it is, the TV stuff, and you start to know the characters, and then you have a comic book and you're like, oh, okay. And then you're at, at the newsstand, or back then, when there were newsstands, and even supermarkets by the registers would have a couple comics. Mostly it was like Betty and Veronica and Archie and Jughead and stuff like that. But every once in a while there would be, like a Justice League or something in there that I would always grab. And, yeah, that's pretty much what started the downward spiral of me with comics and more, you know, more directly DC Comics. So I hope that answered that question for you, Nick. Thank you for sending in the questions. I got to run, but I hope you enjoyed this abbreviated episode. Hopefully next week we are able to get back to our regularly scheduled programming. If you would like to tweet me directly, you can get in touch with me at Aaron S. Bell on Twitter. Ronnie is at RonBar316, and the show is at DC_Absolute. Thank you for listening.